Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships? What makes them work? How to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Hello, I'm here today with the lovely Lucy Cavendish. She's a lovely colleague of mine. She's a coach, she's a therapist, she's an author and public speaker. She's a commentator and an award-winning podcaster. Her speciality is helping people believe in love and find it. Lucy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's lovely to see you, and you're looking very well, I have to say.
Thank you very much. We're going to talk about love and modern dating.
Yes.
Take it away.
So I wear lots and lots of hats, as you know. And the thing I've really been exploring with my clients, with myself, and I also write for newspapers and also in the podcast, is about what is love, you know, which is a great big question. And the reason why I am interested in that is because in order for us to kind of find love and have, you know, live in what Imago, I'm trained in Imago couples therapy, we would call joyful aliveness, which is, I think, is where we all really want to head to, is to sort of understand our translation of the word love, because we bandy it around a lot. And a lot of bad behavior happens under the carapace of love. So I have couples that come and, you know, some behaving badly, and then they'll go, but I love you. And I say, yeah, well, you may say you love her or him, but that's not a loving way to behave. It's not a loving action. And people that are dating and looking for love, they get told a lot of stuff like, well, no one can love you unless you love yourself. And I just want to call that out, because if you're not in a relationship and you're not finding love, that's going to turn it in on yourself. And you're going to think, oh, the reason why I can't find love is because I don't love myself. And then you're in shame, and then you're in the cycle of not loving yourself. So you're kind of stuck in the seventh circle of hell, and you can't seem to climb out. And again, I want to kind of do a little bit of call out of manifestation. That doesn't mean to say that I don't have a belief, and I do, that, you know, in order for good things to happen, you kind of have to believe good things can happen. And I think, you know, that we're living in the realm of possibility. But
yes.
People say, oh, you know, you've got to manifest it. You could sit there forever going, I want to meet a man, and he's really rich, and he's really tall, and he's got all these wonderful qualities, and da 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 da, and then it doesn't happen, you're back in shame again. Well, how come other people manifest it and I don't? And we want to get out of shame.
I agree. I completely agree. It's so easy just to go down that rabbit hole, self-shame and diminishment. It's really important, I think, you know, if we look about self-love, that we identify what that actually is. And it means just caring for your feelings and needs and desires. It's not some great other thing. It's just paying attention to yourself, first and foremost, and taking action on those feelings and needs.
Yes.
You've got more you'd like to add?
Yes, I mean, I do a course of Journey into the Self, which goes into a bit more spiritual stuff and philosophical stuff and, you know, how we work in the world. And I might be going a little bit on a tangent, but for example, you know, a lot of people look for love in all the wrong places. You know, it's like looking for support in all the wrong places. I mean, I used to really want the father of my children to support me and the children. And one day, you know, a voice from above, probably not, it's probably my inner voice, but here we go, was like, stop looking for support in all the wrong places, because when it doesn't happen, you go down the world of pain. You go into why does no one help me? Why does no one support me? Well, the reason is you're looking in the wrong place. Start looking in better places. So quite often when we're looking for love or we're wanting to date or we're wanting to meet someone, we are intrinsically attracted to people who are going to reenact our pain, our childhood wounds. We're just intrinsically attracted to that, whether it's conscious or unconscious. And A, I know this because it's happened to me when we're looking at patterns. And B, I know it because clients come and say, I walked into the room and I took one look at Heather and I knew she was the one for me. Well, you can't possibly know someone's the one from you. You haven't even spoken to them yet. You might say, I fancy them. I love her. I love her lipstick. I think her necklace is absolutely compellingly beautiful. I'm interested in getting to know her and talking to her because I like the cut of her jib. But what you don't know is that this person is the one for you. So something else is going on in that energy exchange. So I had an alcoholic father. I talk about this a lot. I've dated and married alcoholics. And that's because to a certain extent, so there'll be an innate attraction. There'll be because I'm attracted to them and I'm catnip, you know, it's all going on. You know, I'm attracted to them, they're attracted to me, but the same stuff happens. So then people come to me and say, well, I can't change my chemistry. And this is what I will say to people. We can change whatever we choose to change. You know, we've created, you know, man, people, sorry, people have created AI. People can go to the moon. We can do a million and one things. We can dive under the oceans. We can go up an aeroplane. So don't come and sit opposite me and tell me, like some little innocent person, that you can't possibly change the way you love, where you look for love, and what you're attracted to. Because, and I call it out because I want people to know that the life of love is ahead of them, but it's not going to be ahead of them if they keep lost in this world of pain that needs healing. Does need healing. We need self-care to heal the parts of this that keep being compelled to play out and reenact our childhood wounds. I hope that makes. I've said that very quickly. I hope that.
No, you're absolutely right. The childhood wounds piece is very profound. It's because that's what feels normal to us, and that's what has emotional charge. But it's got the emotional charge of a 3-year-old or a 7-year-old. And that's, again, why it's driven, because when we feel our feelings when we're that age, it's like a big surge that goes through our bodies. And that's why we look at the person across the room and say, that's the one. We're making the decision with that part of ourselves who is just looking to be picked up by a parent.
Yes, but not by a healthy parent, right?
No.
Not, and I am not blaming people's parents, because you know most parents do the best job they can do given their own experiences and back and back and back and back. So I don't blame my father for being an alcoholic, etc., etc. But I had to really understand and grapple with what was happening for me. And to really, it's like trying to get the eye of Sauron turning. It's like I say, it's like turning a tank around with a tugboat. And part of it is having a belief. I believe that I can do love differently. I believe there is someone out there who can love me and though I want to be loved in a grown-up manner. And we all kind of, we do know what that means. I really do think we do.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, some of us don't want to do that. Some of us, I just want to have things. I just want to have lovers. I like the Sturm und Drang of the Rouse. Fine. That's fine. They probably won't be coming and asking me to help for help because they're having their own drama crisis. That's great. I'm not telling anyone they've got to do it. Do it whichever way works for you. But if you
yes,
want to have healthy love, you can't go up and down like a yo-yo, like it's stuck in the drama triangle.
Exactly that. And I think that's a really good rule of thumb to mention. If there's drama, it's probably not love. It's probably childhood wounds.
Well, I like it. I'm kind of, you know, I'm all good to go with a little bit of drama. You know, I mean, I don't want to kind of feel like I'm flatlining. So I need a little bit. Well, when I say drama, I mean, I need a bit of passion. I need a bit of. Bye-bye.
That's entirely different.
That's very different.
That's I'm talking about anxiety and lots of waiting around or uncertainty about whether you're acceptable or not. You know, the exchanges of texts, you know, that seem to ask questions and then withhold, or you know, all of that stuff that people get into. Yeah.
Yes. So this is getting into burnt haystack territory. Which you
belong to. Oh yeah, it's a brilliant thing.
Yeah, so I have an innate belief, right? Having done 8,000 years worth of work on myself, that I am intrinsically lovable. I mean, I know that I'm lovable, right? I would be delighted to meet me. I'd be so happy. I'd be like, oh my God, I met this amazing woman, and she's so funny. But so I'm all good to go, right? Now, people say, gosh, isn't that a bit, British people say, sorry, English people say, oh, that's a little, what would be the word, arrogant.
Yeah, you're boastful, you're blowing your own trumpet, you're a show off. If you're a child, you're precocious. Yeah.
So when I say, so when people say, surely, when someone doesn't text you back, do you think it's because you're a bad person, not lovable? And I say, no, I just think they're probably an ass. Or they've got
Yes.
something else going on. I don't know why they haven't texted me back, but what I can do is go, that's not the man, I'm heterosexual. That's not the man for me, because I need a man who's communicative. Now, you can meet a really decent guy. Who might not be that good at it, okay, but they're a really decent guy, and then you might want to do a little bit of education. So I met someone recently, and he really wants to learn. He's a very, very good person, and but he's not that great at it. So sometimes I say, okay, I walk in the restaurant, I'm looking amazing, I've made a massive effort, and he says hello, and I say, okay, I'm going to walk out again, I'm going to come back in. When I come back in, you're going to say, wow, you look amazing. Let's just try it on for size. Off I go. I'm going to pretend we haven't done this yet. Off I go. Ready, steady, go. Now I'm going to walk back in. Because he doesn't, because he's been, he's English from a past, and he's been to boarding school. And he doesn't know. So sometimes you might meet a really great guy, and you might just have to do a little bit of education. You might have to say, okay. And then they can help you. They can say, actually, when you blah, 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 I find that a bit overwhelming. So, I mean, this is what communication is about, isn't it?
Yeah, so what relationship is about.
Yes, but Burnt Haystack Method, which is on Facebook and I think on Insta, is set up by Jenny Young. She's going to be on, she's got a book coming out. And you put me onto it. I mean, it feels pretty radical dating system. And she set it up really to help women navigate their way through modern dating. And by that, I mean apps. And it's just fascinating. So there's lots and lots of rhetorical patterns that she identifies. There's lots of texts that she will go through. And when you go on it, and what her idea is, you're not ruling people in, you're ruling people out. So when I first went on it, and it looked like there were men asking like relatively mild things on their dating profile, she keeps it all anonymous on their dating profiles, and people say, no, he's an asshole and he's a user and he's terrible, get rid of him. I thought, God, these American women, they're so lacking in empathy, or they're so mean to these poor men. I've completely changed my mind about that. I think she's onto something amazing. And what
She
she,
is.
yeah, she's encouraging women. I mean, basically what she's saying is, listen, women, you've all been conditioned to put up with nonsense behavior from men who are in the end going to act like big babies, or act like they're the prize, or not really respect you, not behave well. And there's all sorts of rhetorical patterns that you can spot and notice where you can just block them before you even talk to them. And it's brilliant.
Yes, I love it. I love it. It's just so nice when she details those patterns. She's got the guides at the top, and you can read them or watch them on videos. And then you've got the Facebook group where people put up conversations that they've been having by text, and she analyzes them. So you can see how those patterns that she's identified actually show up. It's so beautiful,
Yes,
so clear.
and then what you learn is, so when you go on dating apps, you can also run your profiles past. But what's interesting is that rather than wasting your time, so for example, I went on Bumble, and a really handsome man showed up, and we started talking, and he was really clever, and he was really funny. And I was really enjoying the chat. And then he said, do you want to meet? And I was like, yeah. But then gradually the text started getting really a bit more off the wall. And what I recognized is, this is totally the sort of territory I would be in before, with slightly crazy men who say slightly crazy things, and then say, why don't you leave now and you could drive to the coast and we could spend a beautiful day by the sea and da da da. In the past, I would have gone, hell yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. Now I'm like, hang on a minute. I haven't met you yet. I don't know if I want to drive 3 hours to be with someone I don't really know. And you start recognizing things. So I'm not saying we should be overly cautious. But I did start recognizing that I didn't know much about him. He wasn't really telling me anything. And when I did ask him more about himself, he just sort of basically went, he didn't answer my questions. And I thought, the past me would have gone and done that. The present me, no. So I blocked to burn because in order to get your needle, you've got to burn your haystack down. This is on burned haystack. So I blocked to burn. Went out for dinner with a friend of mine, and because we all have the little voice, well, maybe, what if he was the one? And showed it to my friend, and she said, oh my God, he's a nightmare. And he'd been online with everybody. So everyone I knew online had virtually identical conversations with him that I had had. So I wouldn't have done that without burned haystack. I wouldn't have been so aware of the rhetorical patterns.
No, so if we look at that just briefly as a pattern, straight out, he's not answering your questions. He's asking you to do something out of your comfort zone
Well,
without regard for you as a woman.
it's not out of my comfort zone, actually. I would have been
No,
perfect.
but
But that's
if
part. Yeah.
it's out of the respectful comfort zone,
Yes, it's
that's the
out of
thing.
respectful
You
conversation.
might choose to do it if you were in your former, more wild self. But
Yeah,
actually, in your
this is
wise
fun.
self,
Yes.
yes, but in your wise self, you're thinking, hang on, I don't know this man. He's asking me to drive 3 hours, spend time by the sea with him. And while that might be really, really nice with somebody I've known some time, to take that risk with a complete stranger, do I really want to do that? So he gave you several warnings about not being right for you. The thrill of everything that you might get into, because you've got that wild side to you, could have carried you there.
Yes, I've got, and the other thing, of course, and Jenny's very big on this, and I'm very big on this. I might have talked about this before, which is you know the man needs to organize a date. So if you're heterosexual, I want to just put some brackets around
Caveats.
that, because if you're in the same, love is love is love, right? Coercive control is coercive control. It doesn't really matter if you're heterosexual or polyamorous, or it doesn't really matter. But so when I'm talking about who should arrange the first date, I am talking in this age about a heterosexual relationship. So, I'm 58, so I've come, a lot of the men I meet have been married for a long time, and what you want to check out is, has this person, is this person able to organize a date? Or are they someone whose former wife has just organized everything for them, done everything for them? You want to be a man. If a man says, I don't know where to meet, da, 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 that's a no. I need someone that says, would you like to go out? When would you like to go out? Fine to run it past. I'm thinking of booking an Italian restaurant. Do you like Italian food? Or, you need respectfulness. Or maybe a meal would be too much on the first date. Would you like to have a coffee? You're looking at someone who's able to be proactive and organize stuff and suggest stuff. I think that's a big tick.
Yes.
And the other thing I'm going to say, and lots of people disagree with me, remember I'm 58. Remember, anyone younger who's listening that finds this annoying, just go with it. I want them to pay for the first date, right? I tell you why. And any men that are listening, I want you to hear this big time. If you're sitting opposite a woman who's whatever age, who's got children, who's obviously a single parent, because they're divorced and separated, and they work or don't work, that woman is working twice as hard as any man generally. She's probably bringing up the children pretty much on her own. Maybe not. Maybe you're co-parenting. Excellent if you are. She's going to have hit a glass ceiling financially that you won't have hit, because men don't hit the same glass ceiling. So she's not going to be paid as much as you. She's probably also working twice as hard because she's probably also managing the children. Because I know a lot of men that say things like, I don't know when the parent-teacher meeting is, as if women just know it by osmosis, because God bought Moses the tablets, and so God bought women the entire children's social diary. So you're looking at a woman who's working twice as hard, if not more than you, who's financially not as well off as you, inevitably, not all the time. You know, who's holding up half the sky? She's probably gone out and got her hair done. She's gone and got a wax. She's gone and bought perfume. She's probably been shaving half the night. She's probably gone out and bought a new dress. What have you done? Have you done any of that? Have you had a manicure? Have you had a pedicure? No, you haven't. So dip into your pocket and pay. Rant over.
Yes, and that's great. No, that's lovely. I really respect that opinion because I think what we want is somebody that can do the classic things of providing and protecting. I don't say that means you give up your power. I do argue a bit with get into your feminine and let the man lead, but I think there are some elements in modern dating that really do hold with that you want a man to be a man. We want a lot from our men. We want them to be a man. We want them to be able to talk about their feelings. We want them to be able to put themselves in our shoes, just as you've described all of those things that a woman would do before a date. But a man knows that in advance. You also want him to show respect and care that he's thinking about what sort of date you want. And he talks to you about it and he organizes it. And he thinks, well, how will that be to walk back from, Seven Sisters tube or whatever, you know, what will that be like? Or where would we go that she would feel comfortable and safe? There's a car park close by, or you know, all of those things that really are quite essential in modern city dating. We want him to be like that first off, because if he's not like that first off, you don't want to be married to him for 2 years and find yourself with that negative pattern on steroids,
No.
like you're saying, organizing all the children's things, doing all the cooking, managing everything, paying the bills, and he comes home and sits down and does the proverbial, I need my time, I've had a hard day at work, you know, whatever. Those cliched things can still happen. We think on some level it's a thing of the past. But from what I hear from women, it really isn't.
So it's a lot we're asking, you know, it's a lot we're asking. But what we're doing is we're sort of checking things out. We're checking it out and we're checking out, you know, has this man got a generosity of spirit? But in order for that, you also have to have a generosity of spirit. And I talk about this quite a lot, you know, we've got choices. Are we building a relationship? You know, we've got a little seedling here. Are we going to both water it and feed it and give it care and sing to it and put it in the greenhouse and plant it? Are we going to do that? We're going to nurture this little bud, as you say, with your nursing in, or are we just not going to not do that? And that takes generosity of spirit. It takes curiosity. It takes a desire to get to know someone. And the other thing I want to tell people, and I talk about this a lot, is that love comes in lots of different ways and lots of different forms. So a lot of us at our age, we've had the wham bam boom, we've had the woo, we've had the fireworks. We might have had children with our baby father or baby fathers. That isn't how love is going to be right now. And that isn't how you lot want love to be right now. We may not be each other's big love. We may not be each other's the one. You know, because we've done that. We've done that. But we're moving into the next one. And that means maybe it's calmer, kinder, quieter, more respectful. We're not rushing into something because we just want to rip their pants off or we're reenacting childhood wounds. We're checking it out. And one day, you know, our hand will fit into that person's hand. And you will have created a beautiful, beautiful love. And that may only last 10 years because we're getting on a bit, right? You know, it's not gonna happen. I mean, I've had my love, I've had my one, right? The one, I've had that. I'm now divorced from him, you know, and forever that person will be in my heart as my one, okay? But we didn't work out for all sorts of very good reasons. But it woke me up to knowing that that isn't really love. That is madness. It's very heady, but it's madness. That isn't the love that I want now. Right.
No, no.
And I'm very happy to have had both. Right? I'm very, when I say happy, I mean, it woke me up. It was very painful, the ending of it, very, very painful. But it's woken me up something rather different, which is what actually is love. And that's what love is for me. Something that I probably haven't experienced before, because I didn't really have that love from my father, bless him. My mother a bit more, but my father obviously was my male, figure. And I want to, but in order to have that, I need to embrace my capacity to have that. And I can be very honest, sometimes when it appears, I find my body going, I think a lot of people have this. I really want this. Oh my God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I feel very panicky. I think I'll shut it down. Because you don't know how to do it.
Absolutely.
You don't know how to do it. It's like a whole new thing. So then you have to think, well, hang on a minute. There's lots of things I know how to do. I've learned to be a therapist. I know how to write. I've learned to be a mother. I've learned to buy and sell houses. I've learned how to invest my money because you've made so many mistakes in the past, Lucy. So you're a good lifelong learner. So you can learn how to do this because you're clever enough and you've done enough work and you're psychologically aware enough to make good choices now rather than choices based on childhood wounds and pain and reenactments.
Yeah. And I think there's a big shift as well in our nervous systems. We don't want to be jangled and thrilled like a roller coaster ride anymore as you get older. I'm not dissing that for anybody that really wants to do that in their younger life, but or maybe if you've had all the sort of I don't know, the traditional roles where everything could get quite boring. You're ready to reenact your teenage years,
You
you
might
might be.
want to go and you might want to go and do that. Yeah, great.
But I think what we're looking for is lasting love that gives an emotional security and connection with loving communication and respect, common values, shared values about what's important to us in the world, and in relation to the big areas in life, like children, like money. All of those things that you mentioned, like health, for instance, because you don't want to be marrying another alcoholic. You
Well,
want
you
somebody
also,
who's going to
well, the other thing
last.
I've noticed in men, I'm sorry, men, I'm not having a go at you, but I'm helping you. I'm helping you. I've met a lot of men who are, let's say, in their 60s, and they have not taken very good care of themselves. And that may be for all sorts of psychological reasons, but they're overweight, their posture's awful, all sorts of stuff. And I want to, and it's very hard to know how to say to somebody in the spirit of loving gentleness, I really need you to want to take care of yourself. I want you to sort of like yourself enough to get healthy, to go to get your physical body sorted out. Because if I meet someone that isn't doing that, it's a bit of a red flag for me because I don't want to be looking after somebody in 10 years' time. So I
No,
also
you know.
need someone who's saying, actually, I'm investing in my health.
Yeah, absolutely. That they're creating a future. They still think that as they get towards the end of their sort of 65 years, retirement years, or whatever, they're getting towards that they're actually looking to live beyond it. Because I think there's also something that I see, which is if there isn't some sort of conviction about having a life beyond, they tend to die off
Yes,
66,
that's also,
67.
yeah, I think
Yeah.
that's also true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I think we need people, we need people that fit with us. But the other thing I also want to offer is I'm actually incredibly happy. And I have realized something else. I woke up one day and I thought, why are people wanting to be in relationships? If you're having a lovely time and you're having a lovely life and you're enjoying yourself, and you live your life pretty much how you want to live it, more or less. Why, is it actually true that you want to be in a relationship? Or is it actually true you're really enjoying your life, you're really enjoying your time? And I see a lot of people, my friend is in a new relationship and they're great, but she said, you know what, this is really hard. I quite miss being on my own. This is really, really hard. And actually, don't forget that sometimes if you're on your own and you're happy, yourself, what is that? What's it called now? You're self-partnered. You might well be in a, and you're looking after yourself and you're having fun and you're physically fit. It's quite a lot to like about that.
That freedom as well, freedom of choice,
Freedom of choice.
nobody else to consider.
No, I mean, you just think, I want to go to Greece, I'll go to Greece. I mean, there's a sort of freedom to it that I think can get quite addictive. And then I think,
Yes.
and then I think that that's no, there's nothing, so I meet people and I say to them, if you're happy being a soul person, that be happy being a soul person.
Well, I also think there's something there about what's really of value to you when you're negotiating the early stages of your relationship. And that may be that you will say, no, I'm somebody that can go to Greece at the drop of a hat. Don't take it personally. I will just love doing that. And you'll find somebody will go, oh, she's not the one for me. And another one will say, what a woman.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I think that's absolutely right. And I think you need someone that, I need someone that says that's absolutely fine. I don't take it personally. And you have to kind of know, I've got kind of quite a pioneer archetype. I'm always sort of changing what I do or morphing around, or I think, oh, I think I'll go and do that. No, I think I'm interested in that. And, so I need someone that's okay with that, really. I'm not going to be a particularly traditional sort of a person. So you need someone who is good with that. I mean, why do we want to be in relationships? Well, here's a little story. So I went to a party with this lovely man, and I haven't been to a party with he's not my partner. We're early days, for 5 years. And what was interesting, we met for a drink and then we walked in the room together. Well, I haven't walked in the room together, I mean, apart from friends, for ages. He sort of hung my coat up, and then he was socially very brilliant, right? So he went and thought it was really easy, easy, easy. And at the end of the evening, so we saw each other obviously and introduced each other to friends and stuff. And at the end of the evening, he came and sort of put his arm around me and said, "Okay, let's go and I'll walk you to your car." And I could feel part of me really liked it. Part of me really liked it. It was really lovely just to have someone there who felt like my someone. I don't mean that possessively. But just my person, walk me to the car, make sure I got in the car, text me when you get home. I liked it because it brings out a softness in me.
Yeah, so you can relax.
I can relax a bit. And I thought, well, if I can do this, if I, in the long term, I think that just, I just have an image of that companionship of lying on the beach in Greece, because I'd love to be in Greece, and just having my person there. And I'm their person. We don't have to talk. We're just sort of there, but we're kind and we're respectful and we're connected and we're physically intimate. So otherwise, what's the point? I'm very, I think that's important. And again, you can be single and have physical intimacy with people. You can do it any way you want to do it. You can, in this day and age now, we can take lovers. I mean, it's all up for grabs. And I think that was an image that for me is a very helpful image. But what I'm also aware is that I need also to be that person. I need also to be that person because I can get very voluble. I have to realize sometimes I need to get, sometimes I just need to kind of, I can get terribly overexcited about things and I'm like, yes, da, da, da. And I'm like, okay, sometimes I kind of need to just be aware of the fact that it can be a little bit overwhelming for other people. When I get overexcited.
So you need to be the calmer as well.
Yeah, I need to check in with the fact that just because I want to climb here, fly there, dive there, run there, jump there, that sometimes other people might not want to join me on my mad, crazy exploration of the psyche. And that's it.
I know. Yeah, it is. I think, it's all about agreements, what agreements you make, what you negotiate as your particular shared agreements that you choose. It doesn't have to be the marriage vows, You can be in polyamory, as you say. You can choose what you want, but you just need to be clear.
Yeah, I think that's right. You need to be clear so everyone knows what we're all talking about. And then there's this sort of a friend of mine who's a man recently met someone he'd known her for years. He's been divorced two times, three times. She's been divorced two times, three times. He'd always quite fancied her. Anyway, they've got together now. They're actually very well suited. And he came and he said, and they're going great, girls are having the time of their life. And someone said to him, but what if it doesn't work out? He said, I'm 68. She's 65. Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't really matter. We've got 10 active years left, maybe 20, and we're just going to have a whole pile of fun. And we're just going to enjoy every minute that we have. And we're not going to sweat the small stuff. And I think I loved all that. It was like lots of people get really into overthinking. Are we the right person for each other? What about this? He's like, we're running out of time. You've gone through all that. You're going to be 10 years down the line, and then you're going to be, 70 something. Just make some, just commit to what it is you want and have a whole lot of fun. Just go and have fun and enjoy it.
Really live.
Live. If I sit there thinking, is she the right person for me? So we'll be dead by the time we've got to that answer. All I know is we have great fun together. We really love each other. We really trust each other. And we never go, we communicate. We set up a communication connection system and it works. And I really liked it. I thought I really liked it. And I use that quite a lot, which is okay, we could talk about and think about this for hours and hours and days and years and months, and then we're all dead.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There needs to be some action.
Everything starts with an action.
So if people want to work with you, where do they find you?
On a beach in Greece. No, not really. I am at, I do lots and lots of things. I'm working increasingly more with groups, taking groups through very particular programs. One is the journey into the self, because I've got into this whole big thing about what is the self and what is love and how do we find that and how do we express that. And it's a sort of, there's a little bit of philosophy in it. And I've taken one group through and it sort of grows. The group grows. So I start off with a program, but it moves. It's quite, it's like watching a jellyfish in the sea. It kind of moves and changes. And then another group is on coercive control, which is for this podcast. But I'm at www.lucycavendishlovecoach.com. That's the best place to find. There's free ebooks and all that sort of stuff. And I think my friend's gone into my social media account and told me it's all wrong. So I'm now on Instagram. I now think I'm Lucy Cavendish Love Coach. And I'm on Facebook. I'm very easy to find. And I do a lot of journalism and writing. Oh, but what I love the most, I love everything, is my book and my podcast, How to Have Extraordinary Relationships. And I'm loving doing that. I'm loving doing my podcasts because people are.
Beautiful. And do you have a page for that on your website? Or do we
Yes,
find
I
you on
will.
Spotify or?
They're all on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, but also they get uploaded to my website. But How to Have Extraordinary Relationships, the one before that was Later Data, and that won a gold at the British Podcasting Awards, and it beat everybody. I had no idea that this was very important, and it was very important. Everyone's excited, and then it immediately got dropped. So I think we've got about 8 episodes or 10. I'm the Meghan Markle of the podcasting world. I think you've only got 8 to 10 of them. That's the award-winning one, but that's your lot. You're gonna have to go to How to Have Extraordinary Relationships if you want more, because that was the end of Later Data. Short, very successful, but not enough people listen to it. But it's still there. Still there.
That's lovely, so lovely. Thank you so much, Lucy. We must do this again.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.